Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Wednesday morning, the second day of June. We had such beautiful weather yesterday. It was just a perfect day. I was joking with somebody and I said it waited until it became June for it to decide to be May. Felt like most of May around here was either felt like March or it felt like July. We kept going back from, you know, cold, chilly, rainy weather to hot, humid weather. But yesterday was beautiful. Thankful for whatever the Lord sends us each and every day, right? Well, we're in Psalm 77 this morning. I've got my blessed mug here this morning. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. That's Jeremiah something, 17:7. I should know that. But my eyeballs don't work up that close. All right, let's pray and let's dig into Psalm 77 together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for waking us up this morning and giving us another day of life. Thank you for Psalm 77 and for what we can learn from this beautiful lament from Asaph. We pray that you would write this on our hearts this morning and that you would help us to long for you, to yearn for you faithfully and well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Psalm 77. To the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Selah. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 77. It's clearly a lament. I mean, it's about as clear as can be when you start off, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. Now, we don't know anything about the circumstance in which this psalm was written. As I said before, Asaph really refers to a whole line of song leaders within the gathered worship of God's people. So we don't know when this was written. We don't know if the distress that's bothering Asaph is something that came out of his own personal life, Psalm 73 certainly reflects that, not a communal lament, but a personal lament. And this does seem personal. I cry aloud to God, he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. My soul refuses to be comforted. And yet, it seems like perhaps there is some sort of communal aspect to what's happening to God's people. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Maybe Israel is being trampled down by their enemies, but maybe not. I read this more as Asaph himself having a crisis of faith, really. He's a worship leader. He leads the people of God in singing the praises of God. And yet he is downcast. He is distressed. He is in turmoil. He is anxious and fearful that God has rejected him or abandoned him. This reminds me of one of the great hymn writers from church history, William Cooper. William Cooper was a friend of John Newton's, and William Cooper was a great poet. He wrote, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." He wrote many, many, many very famous hymns. And so his collection of hymns, together with John Newton, it is one of the best collections of hymns that's ever been put together in a single volume. And so, but he was distressed. William Cooper became convinced of what Asaph is wrestling with here, that God didn't love him, that God's gracious promises were not for him. I don't know if you've had that kind of stress in your life or not. I think most believers go through something like that at one time or another. Can be called the dark night of the soul. I think that's what John Calvin referred to it as. And we can feel just far from God. We can feel like God is not answering us. We can feel like our prayers never really leave the room that we're praying in. They don't ascend to heaven. We get no answer from God. That's, I think, where Asaph is. He even says, "My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints." I mean, you're supposed to remember God and be full of joy. But Asaph remembers God and he moans. Why? Because he remembers the deep intimacy and fellowship he had with the Lord. He remembers walking closely with the Lord. And so he moans. He wants the kind of spiritual refreshment that he had at earlier times in his life. Many of us have had the experience that when we first came to know the Lord, when we were young in the faith, everything was new, everything was exciting. The fact that we could have a relationship with the God of the universe, that we could call him our Father, that our sins were forgiven, that we were made right before God, that we could pray to him anytime, day or night, anywhere, and that he would hear us, was just overwhelmingly exciting and soul-stirring. And yet, as we go on with the Christian life, sometimes things fall into a routine, or sometimes things fall out of routine, and we neglect prayer, we neglect the word. Sometimes we neglect the gathering of God's saints to worship. For whatever reason, we can fall into a season of time when we think, "Where is God? Where's that joy that I had with God in the beginning?" And so Asaph says, "I'm going to make a diligent search." And he starts asking some hard questions. He's feeling the way he feels, so he's going to make a diligent search, and he's going to ask some hard questions. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Now that question is answered in a multitude of places throughout the Psalms where we read, "His steadfast love endures forever." His steadfast love endures forever, so it cannot cease. Are his promises at an end for all time? That's not possible, is it? It's not possible for the promises of God to fail. Well, has God forgotten to be gracious? How can God forget his own gracious character? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? He's plumbing the depths of why this is happening to him. He's pondering. He's meditating. He's searching out. And then he comes to an answer. He comes to an answer when he says, "Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds." So he says, I'm going to appeal to the Lord, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, this is a little bit of a unclear reference exactly to what Asaph is referring to. Perhaps we might guess that this is after the division of the kingdom, and he's looking back on the days of David and Solomon, who were the chosen kings of God's people, who held God's people together in union before the split. Maybe this is coming out of that civil war time that erupted when the split happened under King Rehoboam and his folly, maybe. But clearly Asaph is looking back and is remembering what God has done. For us as Christians living in the new covenant age, the right hand of the Most High is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can have a past and a present reflection when we are in the depths of despair, when we're lamenting, whatever the cause of our lament may be. It may be a troubled marriage, it may be a wayward child, it may be this wayward nation that we live in. It may be just personal depression. It may be any one of a number of things. What can we do? Well, we can say, the right hand of the Most High, the Lord Jesus Christ, my King, my Lord, he died for my sins. He rose again from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he never stops praying for me. That is the anchor of my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ died and took away all of my sin, all of my guilt. So if I'm downcast because of my sin, it's been settled. He rose again to conquer death and hell forever. Maybe we're upset because we lost a loved one. Well, the Lord has brought resurrection hope to anchor our souls. And the Lord Jesus never stops praying for us at the right hand of God the Father. So to appeal to the years of the right hand of the Most High for us as believers today is to say, Jesus is my Lord. He is alive forevermore. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then there's the character of God. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. So you see what Asaph is doing? He's saying, I don't have answers to all of my questions. I don't know why I'm in such deep distress. I know that I'm moaning, I'm crying aloud, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to anchor my soul in God. I'm going to remember who God is. I'm going to remember what God has done. I'm going to remind myself of the character and the attributes and the works of God. I'm going to rehearse gospel truth to my soul. And here the last stanza really is a retelling of the Exodus, which for God's people at this time in redemptive history was the great redeeming act. They look back on the power and the glory and the salvation of the Exodus. For us, we look back on the cross because we live on this side of the cross, and we can look back and remember that Jesus died for our sins. We can meditate, ponder the cross, just as Asaph here is meditating on and pondering the Exodus. Well, that is the cure for a downcast soul. We need to intentionally, deliberately, in a focused way, anchor our souls in God, in what God has done, in who God is, in the promises he has made, in the ways that he has kept them in the past. We'll never find peace by searching more deeply within ourselves. And some of our questions will never have answers in this life. So when we don't find peace and we don't find answers, we need to anchor our souls in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you are unchanging in your goodness. There is no shadow of turning with you. You are great. There is no other God great like you. You are matchless in power, in holiness, in saving might for your people. And if you gave your Son for us, he who did not spare his Son, but freely gave him for us all, how will he not, together with him, graciously give us all things? You have given us your Son, and you have called us to life in you. Father, would you anchor our souls in you, in your character, in your works? And let us find in you a hope that nothing in this life, nothing in our own hearts, nothing in our doubts or fears can shake the fixed hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sitting at your right hand and forever praying for us. Anchor our souls there, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, Psalm 77 is actually kind of a preview of the themes we're going to be looking at this Sunday in gathered worship as we do our return to normal Sunday. This Sunday, we're going to have a Sunday school hour that's going to be a gathered prayer time for the church at 9:30, and then worship at 10:30. We're back at Knights of Columbus, back in Newport Terrace, back inside, back to complete normal. We'll even have the food table back this week after church. Looking forward to that. But the sermon's going to be on Psalm 42 and 43, which is a lament of the sons of Korah. And that's the one that has the refrain of, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will again praise him, my salvation and my God." So it's speaking to a downcast soul to put our hope in God. So this psalm is a little bit of a preview of the themes that we'll be dealing with this Sunday. I hope you'll be able to join us for gathered worship on 10:30 on Sunday morning. But have a blessed day in the Lord, and I'll see you back here on Friday morning.